In June, there was a victory at the Supreme Court in the sense that in the state of Maine, there was a school choice decision where basically religious schools were allowed to be included in a school choice situation. And that victory, by the way, was partly the work of First Liberty, First Liberty Institute. Right now, we're going to talk with Leah Patterson of First Liberty, because there's a wrinkle to the story where the state attorney general, angry over the ruling, is actually trying to essentially make it as if the ruling never happened. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Leah, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Likewise. Good to be with you.
Okay. For those not familiar with the good decision in June, why don't you just encapsulate that real briefly, and then we'll look into what's happened since.
All right. So I'll start by giving a little bit of background on this school choice program. So Maine is very rural, and many school districts do not actually have enough people to justify building a public high school. So for the students and families in those districts, the state will pay tuition to the school of the parent's choice, unless that school is a religious school. Since 1980, Maine has had this exclusion that prohibits parents from using their tuition benefit at a religious school. Well, in June, the Supreme Court invalidated that as religious discrimination that violates the First Amendment.
Okay, and then what happened?
Well, and then, I mean, that's it. The Supreme Court made its decision, and we're moving forward. So,
all right. Well, let me go ahead and record, you know, mention this. Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry is now threatening religious schools with falling under the homosexual-friendly Maine Civil Rights Act if they participate in a tuition assistance program. So, in other words, what this is really saying is here the state attorney general, angry over the ruling, says parochial schools must hire and cannot fire homosexuals, lesbians, and transgenders if they participate. So, in other words, in effect, he's like saying, okay, go ahead, we have school choice in Maine, but you gotta, you know, abide by these rules that you as a Christian school wouldn't agree with. So it's like, well, what? Ah, well, how we're always losing our religious freedom, it seems.
Well, you know, this isn't exactly a new argument for Maine. They've made this argument all throughout the litigation as a reason why our clients didn't have the ability to file a lawsuit in the first place. So courts have rejected that argument in this litigation, certainly. And, you know, I think the Supreme Court's been pretty clear that the state cannot refuse to allow schools to participate simply because of their religious beliefs.
But it seems as if some schools or some, you know, groups or whatever are saying, well, we just don't want to deal with the hassle and so forth. So they're starting to back down. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, after 40 years of religious discrimination in Maine, it's not surprising that schools are going to take a few months to figure out what it means and what the best path forward is for their schools.
Okay, so legally, this attorney general is not right.
Not in my opinion.
Well, all right, and I guess not in the Supreme Court's opinion either in that respect.
The best way I can put it is that it's legally dubious.
Okay. All right. So the good news then is that we really do have a First Amendment after all in America.
Yes, and a very robust one, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's so amazing to me when I, you know, see what's happening so often in the public schools and even sometimes in private schools. When you consider this, the founding fathers said in something called the Northwest Ordinance, passed initially in 1787, and then I believe it was repassed in 1789. In Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, they said that religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. And now we're at a situation where, you know, you dare not bring religion or morality, frankly, into the public school situation. Otherwise, you know, they'll you know, you end up with an ACLU lawsuit or something like that, or the attorney general of your liberal state will try and shut you down. And so it's such a contrast with what the founders intended.
And, you know, I think what we're seeing is the Supreme Court recognizing the robust religious freedom that the Constitution actually protects.
Okay, so go ahead and wax eloquent, if you would, on how this really impacts us.
Well, I know that the decision in Carson, this case, completes the work that Trinity Lutheran and Espinoza versus Montana did, the previous Supreme Court cases that led up to this. And really, the general principle that the Supreme Court's vindicating here is that a state cannot justify religious discrimination by saying the magic words, separation of church and state. Because religious discrimination is not neutral. That's hostile. It punishes people because of their religious beliefs to exclude them from a program that's available to everybody else. And the Supreme Court is repeatedly saying that no matter how you characterize the religious discrimination, it's still unconstitutional. And that is going to make a lot of difference across the country in all sorts of contexts. It's not limited just to the school choice context. I mean, Trinity Lutheran was about a playground resurfacing grant program, for heaven's sakes. I mean, heaven forbid that children not scrape their knees on a church playground. So the impact that we'll see from this case and the cases that came before it is wonderful.
Well, Trinity Lutheran, if I'm not mistaken, that was a case out of Missouri, right?
Yes, it was.
Didn't the late Justice Ginsburg actually vote in favor of the church on that particular one, or maybe I'm wrong?
I believe Trinity Lutheran was a pretty robust vote. I think it was 7-2, but I'm
oh, okay. Well, all right.
A little fuzzy on it.
Yeah. Okay. But in any event, well, even that 7-2 versus, you know, 5-4, which some of the decisions have come down to. This is actually kind of good news. What it really says is the Constitution really is on our side. It just hasn't been applied that way by the courts in the same way. Let me ask you a question. Can you explain the old Lemon versus Kurtzman? There was some sort of threefold criterion by which, you know, any kind of religious expression in the public arena or whatever would be dealt with. In effect, these three decisions that you just mentioned, and the most recent one being this Maine school decision, in effect, they say, no, this is not, you know, we're not to be having state-mandated atheism here in America.
Well, I can tell you that the Lemon test has finally and soundly been rejected by the Supreme Court as anything remotely resembling what the Constitution means. So to explain what Lemon was, it was a decision 50-some-odd years ago that basically has a lot of different factors that courts are supposed to weigh. But what it boils down to is, would a reasonable observer, which is a hypothetical and thus non-existent person, feel that a particular expression of religion or a religious symbol, such as a monument or a nativity display, would that be considered by that reasonable observer to be the state endorsing a particular religion? What does any of that mean in practice? Nobody knows. Nobody did know. And it really became just the bane of all the lower courts, because like we I guess we're just supposed to know it when we see it, but nobody knows what it is, and it's not really capable of consistent application, and it's not what the First Amendment says anyway, because the hallmarks of what an actual establishment of religion is has a lot more to do with the state forcing people to believe a certain thing and not a lot to do with whether religious symbolism that is used in the course of our culture is constitutional. So the Supreme Court actually has spent the past 20 years distancing from Lemon and returning to the proper way of interpreting the Constitution, which is by reference to historical traditional practices that were considered to be constitutional at the time of the founding. In fact, one of our other Supreme Court cases this term, Kennedy versus Bremerton, the court expressly held that Lemon is no longer good law. So it's finally dead.
Wow. So it would be safe to say that that's the Coach Kennedy case. The Coach Kennedy case, in effect, was the official death knell to the Lemon v. Kurtzman decision.
Officially, as well as in effect.
I like that. That's cool. Well, you know, here's what the founders said. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But in 1947, those words that I just read from 1789 or 1790, I guess. I'm not sure. Anyway, those words were reinterpreted to mean, you know, there should be this strict wall of separation of church and state, and we could not allow the slightest breachment. That was from a 1947 decision, Everson versus the Board of Education. And ever since then, that's when school prayer was thrown out, Bible reading, the Ten Commandments in the schools, etc. And so it's a new day in America.
Well, I won't argue with that. I think it's high time that we moved away from this concept of separation that amounts to shutting down various people's religious expression.
Yeah, you know, in some ways, in effect, what they've done is they've made secularism the official religion, at least in the public schools. In other words, I mean, I once interviewed a girl who got an F on a paper that had been approved. Her topic was, the assignment was write a paper on an historical subject and just use historical documents to, you know, to make your point. Okay, so she got approval for her article. She wanted to write about the fact that Jesus was an historical figure. Well, she you know, was writing her paper, and that the teacher changed her mind and said, no, you know what, that we can't have anything about, you know, God and religion in the public school. You have to write about something else. Well, anyway, she ended up suing. And because she got an F in this assignment, meanwhile, there were other students for the very same assignment that were writing about things that were religious, but they weren't Christian, like something about the occult or something like that, you know, some other examples. And, you know, I remember even Nat Hentoff, who was Jewish and he was an atheist, but he wrote an article about this, an F for Jesus in the public schools. And you know, maybe if that lady and her case had been in the courts today, maybe they would have said, no, you should be allowed to go ahead and write that article.
Well, I mean, I think the courts have been pretty clear that students' free speech rights do not end at the schoolhouse door. And as long as a student is writing a paper that is responsive to the prompt, it actually violates the Constitution to tell the student they cannot write from a religious perspective. And actually, for students and their families dealing with this kind of thing, there are resources on our website, firstliberty.org, to help explain what students' rights are in public schools.
Okay, and how about just a quick summary of what some of those key rights would be? We have about half a minute to go.
Well, it's really what I just said, that, you know, students have free speech rights and free exercise rights in school, and if they're allowed to, at any time anybody could be reading a book, for example, like free reading time, they can read their Bible. They can write a paper that responds to the prompt, and it can be from a religious perspective. The school does not have the authority to shut that down.
Okay, so basically the attempt to create the schools, make them into religion-free zones, those days are gone. Or at least they should always be challenged, because the law is on our side and the Constitution as well. Thank you so much, Leah, for being with us. FirstLiberty.org for more information. All the best.
Likewise, my pleasure.